This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Joe Biden is old and a communist. We'll talk about that. Our military difficulties. We're going to talk about things happening overseas, like nuclear war. All that and more is coming up on I'm Right. Okay. Let's address the elephant in the room, the hair. I warned you all week last week that I was buzzing it off. Didn't I say I was shaving it off? Well, here it is. And this is what it's going to be. All right? I'm 42. I'm old. The hair was thinning and going gray. And this is what it's going to be from now on. So suck it up. All right? I'm sucking it up. You can suck it up too. Now let's deal with I'm right. Joe Biden's old. He's too old. Too old to be president, I should say. Not too old. Don't wish any ill will on him or anyone else getting up there in years. He's just too old to be president. And he's too much of a dirtball communist to be president, too. And let's address the communist part first. You see, East Palestine, Ohio, you probably remember the name. Lord willing, you remember what happened to them, this terrible train wreck with this horrible chemicals. Remember, we saw the pictures of the fires and the waters and the people complaining about the side effects, and there's all this crap in the ground. And, Joe Biden was asked about visiting there.
I said in March that you would go to East Palestine, Ohio. You came here. How come you haven't gone to East Palestine yet?
Well, I haven't had the occasion to go to East Palestine. There's a lot going on here, and I just haven't been able to break. I was thinking whether I'd go to East Palestine this week, but I then was reminded I've got to go literally around the world.
Literally. Of course, he had to throw that one in there. I'm just going to let that go for now. Literally around the world. This hasn't had time, you know. So what are you looking at here? Well, first, you're looking at two different things. We always have to remember we're looking at two different things when we look at Joe Biden, when we hear Joe Biden speak. We are looking at a cadaver, an old, corrupt, very mean, kind of soulless person that he's been for years, long before the dementia, he's that way. So we're looking at this old kind of cadaver that's very, very mean and soulless. And there's not a lot going on inside. So he's really just the people behind him, the full-blown communists behind him who control him. That's a lot of what you see from Joe Biden. So a lot of it is just an old kind of mean jerk. But then there's the communists behind him that I just addressed. You know, their words mostly coming out of his mouth whenever he can speak. Why hasn't Joe Biden been to East Palestine? Went right to Ohio. He went right to Hawaii. No East Palestine. Why? Hawaii had this terrible wildfire. The president went. That's good. East Palestine has something equally terrible. Nothing. Why? Well, you may be confused as to why, because you have values. You have a value system as a person. And like we've talked about many times, it's a natural thing. It's what human beings do. You've taken your values and you've projected those values onto other people. So if you were president, you would go to what? Both places, of course. Well, there's a disaster in East Palestine. You have a heart for those people. You would go see them. Oh, there's a disaster in Maui. You have a heart for those people. You would go see them. But you've made a mistake. Not that you're a bad person. You just made a mistake. You assigned, once again, your values to the communists. The communist who doesn't share your values at all. You see Ohio and Hawaii. You see downtrodden people in Hawaii and downtrodden people in Ohio. And you have a heart for both, but the communist doesn't see it that way. The communist sees friends and enemies. And that's his entire existence. Remember, because it is his religion. It's not his political ideology. He's not a Democrat. He doesn't lean left. He's not a progressive. He's a communist. It's his religion. It's his whole existence. everything in his life is simply about friends and enemies. If you're Joe Biden and you find out there's a terrible train derailment in Ohio, a bunch of people are dying, suffering, it's horrible, you don't immediately get a heart for the people. You immediately do this. Hey, somebody bring me the numbers for Ohio. You pull up the numbers for that area and you say, oh man, East Palestine, wow. Overwhelmingly, they voted for Trump. What do we care, huh? We're not going there. That's how the communist looks at things. And same thing for Hawaii. Oh no, there was something bad in Hawaii. Hey, bring me the numbers. Hold on, let me see. Hawaii voted Democrat 2-1. Hey, gas up the jet. We're going to Hawaii. We got allies that need some attention. This is what we've become. When you're a nation run by communists, this is what we've become. And so that's the communist portion of it. Now let's address the Joe Biden's too old portion of it. Part of the reason Joe Biden is on vacation so much, 382 out of the 957 days he's been president, Joe Biden has been on vacation. Why? Well, because Joe Biden's too old to be president. It's a very stressful, time-consuming, exhausting job to be president. No, they're not breaking bricks in the hot sun or something like that, but this is a job that requires you being on all day, every day, interviews, speeches, travel, here, there, three states today, four states tomorrow, then we're flying internationally, I have to meet with this head of state, then we sit down with the UN. This is what being president is, I mean, it's what the job requires. You must have energy. Joe Biden simply doesn't have the energy. He's too old. He can't be president. He's on vacation a lot because Joe Biden has to rest the vast majority of the time to then go back and accomplish even the smallest of tasks. And this is why when he's called out for these things, whenever they're given a chance to ask him specific questions about the things he's done wrong, this is why the answers are so lame, because he's just an old cadaver now that can't think.
So, by the way, the reason I'm here today, just for one day, I know I'm on vacation. I'm not. I have no home to go to. The Secret Service has torn my house up in a good way to make it secure. So I have no place to go when I come to Delaware except here right now.
He has no place to go. And he thought, you know, at the time, when he said that, with his brain that's kind of like melting into chocolate goo, it might just start leaking out of his eyes pretty quickly. He thought when he said that at the time that that was a good answer. But see, that's not a good answer, because the president can go anywhere he wants to go, really anytime he wants to go there. And the Secret Service will go there ahead of him and with him, and they'll secure the area. Joe Biden could be president without taking a single day of vacation. But Joe Biden can't do it because Joe Biden's too old. That's just the truth. We're led by a cadaver who's also corrupt beyond belief. Which brings me to one final point here. If I had a dictionary that was videotapes, and you could define this and define that, if I had to define low T GOP, because that would be part of the Jesse Kelly dictionary, I would have this video of Ken Buck going on CNN with endless amounts of evidence pointing to Biden's corruption, claiming there's no corruption at all.
Last month, you notably called impeachment talk a shiny object to distract from budget negotiations. What are you hearing about the impeachment inquiry conversation?
So I think that my constituents back here, some of them want revenge, some of them want retribution, and others want to get over this, and they want to move on and solve the problems that we face in this country. But we'll see what happens with this. Obviously, we're not at the point where we're ready to offer evidence of impeachment, but rather just to start an inquiry into whether impeachment is appropriate.
Yeah, I'm still not quite sure what crime Joe Biden is to have committed.
All right, anyway. You know someone who's not low T? Ron Paul! He's going to join us next. We're going to talk to him about the Constitution and liberty and all this impeachment stuff and whatnot. Before we talk to the great Ron Paul next, let's talk about this. How do we make preparations in a late-stage republic, which we are in, with all these horrible, corrupt leaders leading the show, taking us down this horrible path? What do we do? How do you How do you operate as a normal person? You're just a normal person. I'm a normal person. How am I supposed to? How am I supposed to protect my dollar, the retirement? What do you want me to do with it? I can't do it if they're destroying the value of it. Precious metals, baby. Things you can touch and feel, because you can't trust anything else anymore. Why don't you look at history and see what had value thousands of years ago? The same thing that miraculously has value now. Precious metals. Oxford Gold will deliver those precious metals to your front door. They'll also get them in your 401k and IRA. So when that bubble goes pop, you're not wiped out. You don't lose everything you've worked hard for. And they handle all this super laid back, which is what I love the most. Call them. 833-995-GOLD. They will handle it all for you, and they're so chill about it. I just love these guys. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country, without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
So, if you look at all the information we've been able to gather so far, it is a natural step forward that you would have to go to an impeachment inquiry. And just so your viewers understand what that means, that provides Congress the apex of legal power to get all the information they need.
They just continue to take orders from Donald Trump, their puppet master in chief, who has directed them to persecute and to go after Joe Biden, which may take the form of an illegitimate impeachment inquiry.
Okay. McCarthy's doing his thing as Speaker of the House. Hakeem Jeffries, very capable man. Don't discount him. He took right over for Grandma Vodka, and he'll be there for a long time. He's doing his talking points. I don't even know how I feel about all this impeachment stuff, other than I want to see it happen. Joining me now, Dr. Ron Paul, of course, former Texas congressman, host of the Ron Paul Liberty Report. Okay, Congressman, I don't even know if I care or not about impeachment. I want him to do it, but we don't gain anything from it. He's not going to be convicted in the Senate, even if he was. We just have Kamala Harris. So I don't know that we gain anything tangible, but it's probably necessary for them to think at least we'll do it too.
You think we'd have somebody there smart enough to know how to use the rules where you could do the investigation without the pretense that this is a fake attempt to impeach somebody. The information is very important, and some of them feel desperate that they have to do it this way, otherwise they can't investigate. Why can't they? You know, I think, and I don't know all the details of the rules, but it seems to me like if they were determined, they could. But maybe these difficult questions on answering, they might not be answered until the next election, and maybe there'll be more clout on one side. But I think the information is vital. I think there's a downside to impeachment. It's not that I think it would be terrible if they do it. If that's the only way to do it, that's better than avoiding getting the information. Once again, if you have the information, is it going to get out? Will the major networks or the people who want to get the news out, are they going to tell the truth? And most Americans say, no, they're not going to tell the truth, so why should we sweat it?
Yeah, and do the people actually care enough, Congressman? I try not the best I can not to be a cynic. I've always loved your attitude on things, but I've been a big fan. I say a lot, especially lately, that we don't really have a politician problem. We have a people problem. These people, they turn into COVID tyrants. They all get reelected. Joe Biden, whether it was fair or not, he's president. I would say half the country, no matter what, would go out and vote for him again. We point fingers at all these scumbags in D.C. without realizing we vote for them time and time and time again. Don't we have a people problem?
Yes, we do, but you have to talk about which people. I see the world divided among people who believe in a natural law and people who are nihilists and say you can't know the truth. But I'll tell you what, I think most people believe in natural law that you should tell the truth and there's right and wrong. But why aren't they representing our view? And it's because the other side, people like Soros and others who have a lot of money and a lot of desire to control things, they're in leadership positions, so they own all these things. So I'm delighted what you're doing. You're trying to get the truth out. But I think the numbers, the majority of people are still decent people, but the majority of people who get their information from these individuals who have stolen the show, that's where the problem is. And that's why, you know, I always lament the fact that I said, you know, our message is so powerful and so right and so beneficial, bringing about peace and prosperity. Why are we doing such a lousy job? And you can say, well, the people don't care. Now, I think that's always going to happen. But I was delighted about some of the results on the lockdown, especially when a group of people finally had it up to them, up to their ears in it, and they would go and confront a school board. And one individual would get up and just say, hey, this is the truth, this is what we ought to do. And all of a sudden, the crowd, yeah. And then they go and file the whole school board. So you need those people to speak out and talk because it isn't like they're totally alone. You know, I had one example of that when I was very much alone when I said that we shouldn't be overseas killing people and maybe we're responsible for some of the nonsense in foreign policy. And everybody came out, well, you're done. And it turned out to be the most interesting issue that ever happened to me because more and more people said, we are telling the truth. So the people are begging for the truth. They have to have the messages. That's why vehicles like yours that you're getting this information out is so important. And if you give up on it, then you're saying, oh, it's not worth it. I think it's worthwhile. As a matter of fact, because I have a secret weapon, I sort of think you should enjoy what you're doing, meeting people who agree with you, figuring out how to do it, and knowing that life is difficult, and there's no reason why you can't enjoy the issue at the same time. I found out that people enjoyed what I was saying at the end of a speech after I scared them to death, because you know, I said we're in bad shape, but this is what you can do. And lo and behold, I strongly believe in the remnant. I think there's always people out there preparing for the repair. But that's what these Marxists are doing. They're preparing, but they're in there and they've already gained the control. And they're in the Department of Justice and our educational system, our medical system. And they have an announcement. But people, one by one, you know, it was said once that people go mad in herds, but they only recover one at a time. Well, I'm satisfied to see one at a time. So if I had a congressman, I strongly also believe that you can't wring somebody's neck and grab them and say, why are you such a jerk? Why don't you do that? No, I don't believe in that. But if you're knowledgeable, they're going to come and ask you questions. And lo and behold, I had three members of Congress actually asked me a serious question. I said, holy man, because they were so far removed from the understanding of liberty and what it means. And they all took the same oath of office, to obey the Constitution. At the same time, they didn't believe in any of it. And even now, what percentage of them really know and understand it? There's not too many. They're out there, and what we have to do is present the issue to them, give them a chance, and give them a little bit of hope that it's possible. Because I'll never throw up my arms and say the end, because none of us know what's going to happen tomorrow, you know, or the next day. So I think if the people get the message and you have leaders that want to speak clearly, even now we have one or two that will speak clearly in the presidential campaign, and you know they're not going to agree with us who believe in liberty perfectly, but they're speaking much clearer, and you could tell at least they're telling the truth from the way they see it. So that's what we have to encourage. It's a tough fight, though. I understand that.
It is, and Is it possible to get back to a constitutional society, which everybody wants, when one side, it's not that they ignore it, they just hate it. They know it's there. They know what it says. They have no use for it whatsoever. So they try to destroy it every day. How do I get back into a constitutional society when I share a home with people who have no regard for it whatsoever?
Well, you have to do what you can. And people ask me precisely after speeches, what do you want me to do? I say, if you agree with the issues, you just have to find something to do, because everybody has talents, and some people would do one thing. Some people get foolish enough to run for Congress and things like that. And so it has to be done, but it should be meant that understood that that doesn't mean that there's going to be a conversion of everybody at one time. So I think that opportunity is there. As far as when are they ever going to be constitutionalists? Because the current Congress we have here, other than maybe the 10 or 15, aren't going to be constitutionalists. It's not a relevant idea. That's why people say, how did you stand living with those people and talking to those people? Well, I just didn't pay any attention to them, and I had low expectations. They weren't going to listen to me. So the three or four that did would. So, but somebody outside of Washington, I found out that I had a couple people listen to me, and I had a couple congressmen change their minds about this. Yes, the being alone is a tough deal, but I think that's the way it is all the time. I just don't think, as a matter of fact, if it was just somebody could turn the switch and everybody's turned on, but no, the average person, but you have to have a consensus of other people. The government does reflect the people, and I think that's what you see and you're frustrated with. If people are going along with it, but they aren't the people that are directing the issues. The issues have to be directed. When you had a freer society, and right now, I said when I left Congress, the greatest threat to us is the violation of our First Amendment rights. Because if we have our right to speak out and reach people, which we still do, I still have my program, but you have your chance to talk out. I said, it's still there, and it's up to us. I always lament the fact, how come we're not doing a better job? I mean, we have a powerful message, and it's mainly because people are overly rigid, and they do get addicted. The welfare warfare state, it's not people on food stamps and living in the streets. That's part of it, but it's those corporate organizations and the military industrial complex, the pharmaceutical companies, and all these people. And now I think that right now the conditions are really tough, but they're going to change. So I don't think the collapse is coming. Collapse are coming. And the classical or the cultural Marxists, they say that's good. It gives us a chance to build our ideal social system. And I say, good. It's about time that our freedom issues come alive once again. And there's a lot of organizations. You take the education done by the Mises Institute over the last 30, 40 years. It's fantastic. So they're out there. Mm-hmm. They're out there. We never had enough money or enough people as a Soros, but they're on the wrong side of the issue. Their system is coming apart, and ours will be sustained. Truth and proper living. It's been around a long time, but we have to become more active. And I boil it down to I believe I'm more involved in education than I am in thinking that, oh, I could be a good politician. No, and that's why I have a homeschooling group, because I think that's competition. So and you get people, and more people there. Even now, people say, oh, the homeschooling group, they're all going back to government schools now that the COVID lockdown is over. I don't think that's going to be the case. There's stories now that show that they're not happy with it, and they're looking for alternative education. And there's still enough ways to find it. As bad as the internet is, it's still, I have to rely on it. I rely on it. It gives me leads, and it's beneficial. So, I reach a few people. It's not gigantic, but a few people. So I don't. It's not purely a numbers game. It's a quality game.
Yeah. Congressman, thank you so much. Please come back soon. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you.
It's not just COVID lockdowns they want. It's climate lockdowns they want. Climate lockdowns they're already starting to implement in places. You heard about these? We'll get to those in a moment. Before we get to that, let's get to this. There is plenty to be stressed out about right now. We watch the news. I do the same thing you do. I wake up in the morning, I roll over, and oh my gosh, the world's on fire. Same thing, I know. What do we do? Look, if you struggle to maybe knock off at night, got all the world's problems flowing through your brain and how to solve them, may I suggest CB Distillery, cbdistillery.com? Because what they have there, the thing is, when you take something to sleep, almost always you wake up the next day and you're half dead, groggy, you're miserable still. I love CBD because CBD, these little gummies, best night's sleep ever, you wake up feeling like $1 million. If you have pains, joint pain, I just did lunges today, which are the worst. And when I wake up tomorrow and I can't get up, I'm going to take this little CBD roll-on and I'm going to rub it on there. Anyway, it's all at cbdistillery.com. And everything's 20% off. The relaxation gummies, sleep gummies, CBD roll-on, the best without destroying your liver. CBDistillery.com, promo code Jesse gets you 20% off. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
I also convened my entire cabinet as part of a whole of government response. And that response is to increase the number and intensity of the extreme weather events and be wary we're going to be use all the resources available to the government to do it. Nobody can deny the impact of climate crisis. At least nobody intelligent can deny the impact of a climate crisis anymore.
Nobody intelligent. I'm almost positive he just said, I convened my entire cabinet to cause more extreme weather events. I know that's not what he meant, but that's... Anyway, joining me now, my buddy Drew Berquist, former counterterrorism officer, host of This Is My Show. Drew, okay, Joe Biden says we can't argue it anymore, Drew. There's no more arguing. All the scientists obviously agree man-made climate change is real.
Yeah, absolutely. Conversation's over. Can't deny it anymore. I guess we've just got to resign ourselves to the fact that they're in charge of, as you said, creating weather, telling us how to feel about weather. It's pretty remarkable. The rhetoric that keeps spinning up on all of this stuff, which we all know is categorically BS, is just, it's almost, if it didn't affect our livelihoods and eventually all of our freedoms, it would be kind of funny. Unfortunately, it does and it will.
It infects our freedoms in more way than one, including militarily. Drew, I know this stuff is near and dear to your heart. It's near and dear to mine. Every day I wake up now, it seems like, and there's a new article about some training, how we're reorientating the Marines towards going green, and how the Navy's going to be all solar powered, and just the insanity at every level. It's not just a couple dorks. It's institutionalized now at every level.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's completely sickening. And they wonder too, right? They wonder why people are frustrated, why people are calling out this stuff. And they wonder why recruiting is down to epically low levels, at least in the last little chunk of time here in our country. And it's because no one wants this. This is not what it was ever supposed to be. Again, if you want to be a climate crunchy or nut over here, you want to wear 10 masks, you want to only eat certain foods, do whatever crazy stuff liberals do, that's totally fine. But the military is not the place for that experiment. We don't need that stuff there. We need people who want to hunt down and kill bad guys to keep us safe here. And sadly, those people are either being pushed out or they're leaving because of all the stuff you just talked about.
Drew, that the destruction of our military seems like more of a building of our military, meaning it seems like this purge is intentional. It seems like they really want to get rid of everybody who thinks like you or thinks like me, because it sure seems like they're building a different one for a different purpose. Drew, maybe I'm paranoid.
You're not paranoid. It sounds paranoid. I mean, think about all the things you've talked about, I've talked about, so many people have talked about for a long time, and how they're always coming true. And this one is one of the scariest things out there, because it is, it's this quiet purge, and it is, it's absolutely 100% a new buildup of a new military, just like they want to dismantle, destroy the country so they can build it up in this communist mindset. And they're making some friggin' big strides, by the way. They're also doing the same thing with the military, because they have to, right? You gotta get rid of the meat eaters, the pipe hitters, door kickers, whatever analogy you want to. And you need people who are just willing to go along with what they're going to use the military for in this new America that they're trying to create. It is terrifying. It really is. And no one's paying enough attention to it.
God, it is. It is. I'm glad we're sounding the alarm on it. Okay, let's sound the alarm about something else. Two nuclear powers are apparently getting ready to meet. Kim Jong, whatever his name is, Un and Vladimir Putin. They're getting ready to link up. Two nuclear powers who are hostile to us. What am I supposed to make of this?
Well, first and foremost, we just have to say that, yes, Kim Jong-un is a supervillain, but also, yes, his sister is gorgeous. Still waiting for a call from her. Has not happened. Kim Jo-young, you know my number. Please call me. But this is a big deal, right? You've got Russia who's seeking out tank missiles, artillery shells. They want help in Ukraine as well as other stuff. You've got Kim Jong-un, who probably wants Big Macs and some other fast food, but they also want advanced tech for satellites. They want advanced tech for nuclear submarines. They want grain for their leaders. There's all sorts of stuff. And while this particular meeting that's supposed to happen is troublesome, and what comes of it will no doubt be troublesome, the bigger troubling fact is you've got all of these other big state actors, world powers. Now, I'm not saying North Korea is a world power, but you've got all these big state actors like Russia, China, Saudi, India, all the BRICS nations, and all of those alliances are expanding. And we're going to lose out big time on that, not just in terms of our economy, but in terms of other alliances, militarily speaking. No one seems to care, like, oh, screw them, they're all bad guys, they're our enemies. Yeah, but they're all banding together. Like, are you feeling the wagon circle? It's not a good thing. So I think that this meeting is just a bigger and broader example of what's to come with all of those alliances that they're forming.
Yeah, you know what really ties into that perfectly, Drew? Something Tucker Carlson said last week, I'm sure you saw it, here it was.
They're going to go to war with Russia is what they're going to do. There will be a hot war between the United States and Russia in the next year.
And really?
Yes, of course. They want it anyway. I don't think we'll win it, but that's a separate analysis. But I think it's a political matter. They need to declare war footing in order to assume war powers in order to win. I believe that. And I think the evidence suggests that's true.
Okay, Drew, this is the thing about proxy wars. I mean, we fought them. The Soviets fought them from Vietnam to Afghanistan. I'm talking about the Soviets in Afghanistan and others, a million others. We fight proxy wars. They fight proxy wars. But the proxy war is always supposed to be kind of quiet, just so every side can save face. We've apparently abandoned that now. Well, now we just send Abrams tanks and F-16s, and people lose sight of the fact Russia has the most nuclear weapons of any nation on the planet.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. Look, I've been involved in proxy wars. Proxy wars, if it's the right proxy wars, can be fun. Don't try it at home unless it's encouraged and endorsed, you know, in the right war. But this is very different, and it's not been really proxy-like the whole time. I have one friend who's been there over a year, has already PCS'd out. There's people on the ground there. We're sending all the things you just mentioned, Patriot missiles, sensitive tech, stuff that's going to be used and is being used to kill Russians. It's a nasty situation, but it's also predictable, because you're going to see, and I think Tucker's right, they need this. One, you need war so you can launder money for the bigwigs. But two, it's going to help them with a lot of the political stuff that's going on here at home. This is something that's absolutely going to escalate. And the one reason beyond all the speculative reasons that they could do this, why they might do this, the one reason I know that to be true is there's literally been so many opportunities where you could provide an off-ramp to peace and end this if you wanted to, but they clearly don't want to, because all we keep doing is pushing Putin further and further into a corner and ramping this thing up to the point where it eventually is going to pop off and be a hot war. There's really no other way around it at this point, darn near.
True. Something Americans, we're all used to being number one. We're all used to the big dog, whether you're being the big dog, whether you're 90 or 9 watching right now, you've always been number one. But we don't realize when we're talking about a nation like Russia, yes, we're much more powerful than Russia, but they have the ability to hurt us in more than one way than nukes, too. They don't have to nuke D.C. to hurt us. This is a nation state with the ability to hurt us, so Americans feel it, don't they?
Yeah, absolutely. They are clever. Look, militarily speaking, you put one of our great units up against theirs. Your military, you can't do the just direct-to-direct comparison. It doesn't work in this situation. And you said earlier, by the way, we're teasing and taunting a giant that maybe is not as collectively as strong militarily as we are, but they have the most nuclear weapons on the planet, and they have, whether you think he's a bad guy or not, someone who is a you know, very clever, very strong leader in terms of Putin, who will do what it takes to protect himself and his homeland. But they will, and we're seeing that. Whether it's these arrangements in terms of cutting out the U.S. dollar with some of these new alliances and killing us that way, their intelligence goes. I wish I could have played by the rules or lack thereof that Russian and Chinese intelligence got to do when I was in the game, because we had handcuffs on us everywhere. They were out doing the fun stuff, honey traps, all sorts of other crazy stuff. I never got used for a honey trap, by the way. But they had fun. They were able to go and do this so they can affect change. They can sow more division here. They can cripple the dollar. They can attack us in so many other ways that's not a direct military on military conflict. So people are like, oh, I guess they're not doing that much. They're losing. No, they can win behind the scenes in massive ways that we will all feel.
Drew, he is the host of This Is My Show. Thank you so much, Drew. I appreciate it, buddy.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jesse.
Speaking of military matters, we've got a Force Recon Marine, an MMA fighter. Chad Robichaud is going to join us next. We're going to talk about China, some military matters, and other things. Now, before we get to any of that, let's get to something wonderful. Let's get to Eden Pure Thunderstorm, baby. The greatest air purifier in the history of mankind. I don't even know how many air purifiers I've had. I started getting allergies real bad at like 10, so I'm 42. It's been a lot. I've had a lot of them. And they're all those big towers that make a bunch of noise. I don't have any of those anymore because Eden Pure Thunderstorm eliminated my allergies. I sleep like a baby, allergy-free now. The whole family does. It's just this little black box, not a big tower. Goes in the outlet, hardly even makes any noise, and it cleans your air, constantly cleaning your air. They have 3 packs of these little miracles for sale, $200 off right now with free shipping. You have to go to EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse, and that gets you your 3-pack, $200 off, free shipping. EdenPureDeals.com, code Jesse. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
But I'll say this, no president has put the United States, and you've heard us say this many times, in a stronger position to outcompete China than President Biden, and managing, and I think she has said this too in her interviews, managing that intense competition requires intense diplomacy.
Good, good. Yeah, I'm sure we're doing well against China. Joining me now, Chad Robichaud, Marine, founder of the Mighty Oaks Foundation, also author of the book, Saving Aziz. Chad, This new report out from the Wall Street Journal, it's not even surprising. I read it. I'm sure I had the same reaction you did. Yeah, that sounds about right. Chinese nationals have tried to infiltrate over 100 DOD different facilities. We have Chinese spy balloons here. God only knows how many assets they currently have in our military and intelligence community. Are they just eating our lunch intelligence-wise?
They are. I mean, economically and then around the world, you know, their strategic locations around the world. I mean, we forfeited Afghanistan, you know, we forfeited the most strategic place in the globe between Iraq, Iran, Russia, and China. And anybody that doesn't believe that President Biden gave that to China is out of their mind. I mean, this is, and then you got this, our southern border, you have military age males coming across the southern border without any women or children, just walk across the southern border in our country. I mean, this isn't politics. Everybody keeps putting this as politics. This is national security, and people need to put their politics aside and really realize what's happening here.
Chad, talk about giving Afghanistan to China. For those who don't understand, what are you talking about?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, the American public had been sold this lie that we were in an endless war, 20-year war. We had to leave. We had to get American sons and daughters home because they were dying. That was so untrue. I mean, look, we have military contingents all over the world. We had, at one point during President Trump's term, he had 2,500 troops there. During the evacuation, we had 4,000 troops there. I can name 12 places right now around the world that we have between 2,500 and 4,000 troops. Since World War II in Japan, we still have 80,000 troops. Since World War II in Germany, we still have 40,000 troops. We have 35,000 troops in South Korea since the Korean War, keeping the North Korea from coming across the 38th parallel. It's strategically important to United States national security and to the world that America has these contingents around the world, not to stay in war, but prevent wars. And President Biden's generals, his intelligence leaders, his 12 diplomats on the ground that sent the dissent cable from Afghanistan, which they tried to hide from us, only up with Congress forcing them by subpoena and by holding Secretary Blinken in contempt, did we find out about these dissent cables. All of them advised the president the same thing. Do not withdraw from Afghanistan, especially in this way. He chose to do it anyway. Forfeit Afghanistan, sold out our allies, made the world a much more dangerous place, killed Americans, left behind Americans, had our allies killed. But most importantly, he left the strategic location of Afghanistan, again, between Iraq, Iran, Russia, and China, and handed it over to our enemies. And now China has Bagram Air Force Base, which we know they occupied it, $85 billion in equipment, the trillions of dollars in mineral rights and in lithium from the Hindu Kush and Himalaya Mountains, as well as being able to buy sanctioned oil from Iran and move it across Afghanistan. China wanted us out of there, and President Biden accommodated.
Talk about leaving our allies behind to die. Who do we leave behind?
We had 80,000 Afghan warriors, who our wartime allies, who fought behind us, but who fought beside us for 20 years. Those like Aziz in my book, Saving Aziz, who I did 8 deployments with, saved my life on the battlefield multiple times. He was awarded from Congress for saving the lives of 4 Navy SEALs on a recovery operation that we did. These guys, you know, fought, bled, and died alongside of us for 20 years. And we made them a promise. So this isn't even an opinion. We made them a promise that if they served and filled the contract with us, they would not leave them behind, that they'd have a path to citizenship through the SIV program. From 2009, we not only failed in that promise, but when we left Afghanistan, we abandoned our allies and left them there, and they're being systematically hunted down by the Taliban right now and being slaughtered for their service to America. And you know, it's while as tragic as it is that we would do that to them as a nation, what's more tragic is the fact that the world knows it, the world's seen it, and would never be able to believe us again when we have future wars where we need local nationals on the ground, that we as a country don't keep our word.
Speaking of other nations, we have sensitive documents from the Biden administration. They keep showing up in the freaking newspapers in Iran. How compromised is the federal government? My goodness, Chad.
Yeah, some of this stuff is you can't even make it up. Like, I mean, the fact that, you know, classified material is showing up in public forums around the world is, I don't even know what to make of it, because you would think that a president that's been exposed to having a false email, sending emails as a vice president of the United States from alias email addresses to foreign governments clearly selling access to our enemies. You think they would? I mean, the next day, someone would be in handcuffs. The fact that this is prolonging, and we're talking about maybe it will have impeachment, but this is insane. We are in such a, I know people keep throwing around the word banana republic right now, but I don't know another way to describe it. This is stuff that people don't get away with in places like Afghanistan.
So true. Chad, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Good to see you, Jesse. Semper Fi, man.
You too. Semper Fi. All right. We've got Light in the Mood next. Now, maybe you'd like to be a force recon Marine and an MMA fighter. Probably neither of those things are going to happen for you. But at least you can increase your testosterone levels and get a little closer. What are you going to do? There's estrogens in the waters. It's in the plastics. We drink them. We shower in them. You realize that? That's why testosterone levels are in free fall right now. Unless you're going to stop drinking water. Please don't stop drinking water. So what do? You have to fight against it. How do you do that? Should you run down to the local clinic and get a bunch of needles in your arms? Does that sound healthy? Or do you think you should handle this problem naturally? CHOQ.com, CHOQ. The hardcore anti-communists at CHOQ, they have a male vitality stack for the men. I take one every day. I've been on it for over a year. 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Female vitality stack for the ladies. But they have so much more than that. Whatever you're looking to improve, whatever ails you, go to CHOQ.com. Not more big pharma crap. Natural herbal supplements. All right? CHOQ.com. Promo code Jesse gets you 35% off subscriptions. So make sure you use that. All right? We'll be back.
Hey there. I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
All right, we're about to lighten the mood. And the lighten the mood, I've got to be honest with you, is going to involve dogs. It does on occasion on the show. Why? Dogs lighten the mood. They brighten your day. They just do. Look, I've got my own dog at home, Fred. And he's an idiot. And we love him. I don't know what to do. He comes in the room and the whole family gathers around Fred. I don't know what to tell you. And already the wife is doing this thing. Do you know anybody like this? Or are you like this? She already looks at him on occasion. I'll see her. She'll look sad. I'll say, what's wrong, baby? She said, I don't want him to die. He's like 3 years old. He's not even 3 years old. I said, baby, we have years and years and years. But I don't want him to die either. That's why we give him Rough Greens every meal. Every meal. Dog food is dead food. Remember that. The dog food you give your dog is brown because it's dead. They kill everything in it during the manufacturing process, so it lasts forever on the shelf. You're just giving your dog empty calories every meal. That's why they die so early. You want your dog to take fewer trips to the vet, live longer, years longer? Well, give them nutrition. Rough Greens, all the vitamins, minerals, probiotics, omega oils, whatever your dog needs. Roughgreens.com/Jesse is where you get a free bag. All you pay for is the shipping. Or you can call them 833-33 my dog. All right. This woman decided she needed to file her dog's nails. And, oh, here you go. That's brilliant. I'll see you tomorrow.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.